Let's get to the Rashog Report, brought to you by Auto City Edmonton, St. Albert Trail, 131st Avenue. Put your credit in our hands, and we'll put the keys in yours. That's AutoCityEdmonton.com. Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Shogger, how you doing?
Doing well today. Not quite as well as Paul Byron, who just hit the jackpot.
You think that's
Yeah, what was it? What did you say the number was? 3.5?
No, he got a 3-year deal. He hits an average of 1.166 a year, totaling 3.5 mil.
Okay. I misheard you. I thought you said he got 3.5. I went, what? So I pulled out his stats and I was like, holy smokes, averaging less than 14 minutes a game, $3 million. Like, wow. Anyway, my bad. Misheard you with the bad Rexall music playing.
That's all good. Peter Chiarelli, recap, anything catch your ear from the Oilers general manager earlier today?
Yeah. He never gives up a ton. He is pretty careful with what he says, but every once in a while, he'll open a bit of a window into his thought process. I was interested in his sense of the timeline. I think for the first time we have heard somebody from the organization talk about an expectation of playoffs next year. He kind of laid that out there about how his first year in Boston he missed, and then he made it, and that would be ideal. I think that will be the expectation of the organization next year. And I think just reiterating the fact that the off season is when they find their defensemen, it's pretty clear to him there are guys out there that are available. They're just not available right now. So a few interesting things from him. Wouldn't really talk, as you know, about specific players. And that was kind of, we wanted to know where his head was at on Schultz and Yakupov and those guys. And he's just not going to give you a lot on those kinds of questions.
Although I know he said, I don't want to get into players specifically, Ryan. But then when you listen to his response right afterwards, I thought he answered your question without saying the players' names. Guys who haven't performed here, they've underachieved and need a new address. And that kind of seemed to fit into the exact two guys that you asked him about.
Yeah, and it does definitely fit those two. I think without question he's trying to trade both of those players. It's just strictly a matter of where his sense of the value is and what the return needs to be. But, Yakupov, a first overall pick. Schultz, a highly, highly coveted free agent prize. I mean, when you look at what these guys are going to end up getting traded for, it has this feeling of pennies on the dollar, right? And I think he may want to try and get a little bit more than that, and that might make a deal prohibitive. I mean, I could see another team looking at Yakupov as a reclamation project. I just don't think you can feel the same way about Justin Schultz, considering what you got to pay him next year.
Yeah, at 3.9 mil, I don't think there's any chance.
He's a rental. I mean, flat out, he's a rental.
Yeah. I think, though, what's interesting about it, Ryan, is I don't rule out a non-playoff team taking a look at Justin Schultz if the return isn't a whole bunch, because they might want to see him for 6 weeks before, just to see, okay, we get to know the player, the person, you know what? Maybe he just does need a change of address. I could totally see that.
Yeah, no, it could happen, I suppose. A team feels like with a change of address, they get a short-term look at him for relatively cheap and see if he fits with whoever they want to play him with, see if they could find a fit that is comfortable for him. I think there's some possibility there, but now you're talking about them giving them away for very, very little, like next to nothing, right? For that to make sense for another team, especially a team that's not in the playoffs, that's going to want draft picks and probably going to be building that way. So, yeah, it'll be interesting, man. And I think, the conversation opens up for how they fix this blue line and what deals are possible and what deals are out there and everything Peter had to say today. And you just can't help but think that he's going to have to do something that maybe he doesn't love the idea of doing, but there's just absolutely no question it has to be done. He's going to have to find a way to do it. And I was on that talkie here just a bit ago, and we pointed out the fact that good defensemen get traded in this league. Happens all the time. There are a list of 5 or 6 defensemen who've been traded in the last season and a half who would dramatically be helping the Oilers, from Letty and Boychuk to, someone like even a Simone Dupre to a Dion Phaneuf to you just run down the list. Any one of those players would be in the Oilers' top pairing. They are not chasing after a unicorn. These players do exist. They do get traded for. He's got to get it on the action.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. So I'll play a what-if scenario. It's always fun. The Oilers don't pick number one overall in the draft, but they pick number two or number three. Would you trade that pick for Travis Hamonic?
No.
Why not?
Because you have a chance to get a special, pretty special player with that pick. Someone who I think has the chance to really, really help you. And Travis Hamonic is a really good defenseman and will be for a while, but he's not a special player. Like, he's not a game changer for you. And I think if you're picking 1, 2, or 3, unless you're bringing Oliver Ekman-Larsson to town, I don't think you trade any of those picks. I think you just pick the player, and then you move other assets in your organization.
And that's it's interesting because I asked, I said, would you trade Barkov straight up for Hamonic?
Probably not. I think Barkov's got a really nice upside, and I think he's, he's a big, strong, powerful forward. I don't know that I would. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to take quite as much as you're talking about, though. I don't think it takes a 2 or 3 pick. I mean, you know, maybe the Oilers need to reevaluate whether they're willing to do Oscar Klefbom for him. You know, if they're willing to do Oscar Klefbom for him, maybe you add a little bit to sweeten the pot for the Islanders, and maybe that's a deal you can do.
But I'm not a fan of that.
I don't think that helps your team at all. You're just creating a void on the left side from one of your top four guys to get another top four guy. And the reason I asked the question, Ryan, because if you go
on the Klefbom front, though, you guys, when they drafted Klefbom, they knew there were injury issues, and there have been nothing but injury issues since then. So who do you think is going to play more games effectively for you over the next four seasons? Oscar Klefbom or Travis Hamonic?
Well, he's going to play that, but...
What's that?
I said he's going to play. Like, I don't doubt that Hamonic's going to play more games than that, but you're just, like Gregor said, you're right back in the same situation of needing another D-man, so...
But you're not done, though, right? That's just, it's a little bit of a, to me, it would be an upgrade for right now. It helps you on the right side. You're not done. You still have Eberle. You still have Nugent Hopkins. You still have other assets you can move to bring in another defenseman.
No, it's an interesting one. When you know the injuries is now a staph infection is obviously different, but still, you're right. You know, there's
you got a history of it, guys.
There has been a history of it at times for sure. There's no arguing that. The only reason I brought up the number 2 and the number 3 pick because if you go back over the last 5 years, you know, and you look at the 2011 draft, and you say, okay, would I trade that guy straight up for Travis Hamonic, who's 24 years of age, with that salary cap? There's a lot of those guys in the 2-3 slots, Shogger, that you would trade, no problem for him. And, well, everybody always gets excited about the prospects of the two, and they're both wingers. That's the other thing right now. Laine and Puljujärvi are both wingers. And, you know, how many dominant wingers are there in the end, like truly dominant? 10 or 12?
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying, and it is food for thought. I don't think their suggestion is ridiculous, but I don't think you need to pay that much for Travis Hamonic. I just don't. I think they have other assets in the organization that get it done. It's just a matter of whether they're willing to do it or not. I mean, flat out, like.
So okay,
I think. Yep.
We'll move on quick. So if you had your option, the number 2 or 3 or Klefbom, and it was one of those two, who would you move?
Sorry, so if I have my option between the number 2 or 3 or Klefbom?
Yeah, one of those, like, so you're going to give away the pick for Hamonic or Klefbom for Hamonic, which one would you do?
I would probably move Klefbom for Hamonic.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, because you can still make other moves to help your blue line. You still got lots of other assets to try and go and get Tyson Barrie. Yeah. Try and go get some other players.
Yeah, to me, the reason I do the draft pick, it's another young kid who's really not probably going to help your team for 3 years, where you have Hamonic, now you have Klefbom, and you can still then move Eberle or Nugent Hopkins if you want for another defenseman, and now you have your other defenseman, Hamonic, Klefbom, and Sekera, and Nurse, and I think then you're
Yeah,
then you're
I think
going.
You can do better than Hamonic for the number 2 or 3. I think you combine that with something you've got, and you can do better than Hamonic, who is a very steady, big, solid, tough, two-way defender. Not a ton of offense in his game, but I think you can do better than Hamonic for that 2 or 3.
Interesting. It'll be a fun there's going to be lots of debate, but I'm with you. And that the Edmonton Oilers, like, if they somehow don't come away with a top-pairing defenseman this summer, it'll be a major failure.
Yeah, it has to happen. And these players get traded. The history in the league has shown it. Good defensemen get traded. And I believe Peter Chiarelli has been more aggressive and will be more aggressive than any of the last few general managers we've seen. I believe he was in on Seth Jones. I believe he's willing to move core players. I think he's just sitting there waiting for the right time. And it'll go boom, and we'll all be looking at each other going, yup, there it is. That just happened. It's going to happen. I think with Peter Chiarelli, this is going to happen. It's just a matter of the timing lining up for him. I don't think there'll be a smidgen of hesitation in his mind.
one final one for you. You have Nugent Hopkins, you have Hall, and you have Eberle. Who do you think Chiarelli would be least likely to trade?
Hall.
Yeah. All right.
You got to cut Hall out of that.
But no, I think you had to ask all three. They're all $6 million guys.
Yeah, but you're not. I think the obvious answer is Hall. I mean, that's such a quick answer. To me, the bigger question is between Nugent and Eberle.
But if you want me to order those guys in terms of likelihood, I would probably say Eberle 1, Nugent Hopkins 2, and Hall 3. And Eberle's tough because you do need good players to play with Connor McDavid. You do. You need to keep good skilled players that can complement them. You don't want to end up like, you know, some of these places where they've just never found the winger they've needed for the great centerman, or never found the great centerman for the winger. I mean, Gidlin never had the centers to play with. You don't want to do that for Connor McDavid. You know, they've been searching for guys for Sidney Crosby for years and years. So you're loath to do that. But if you can fix your problems on the back end, if somehow the Edmonton Oilers could come out of this offseason coming up, guys, with, say, Travis Hamonic and then one of Vatanen, Fowler, Tyson Barrie, a player like that, that would be a huge win. And if it cost them Jordan Eberle and, you know, something else significant off their roster, it's totally worth it. It has to happen. They're not going to win anything. They can draft first overall for the next 4 years in a row. They're not winning anything if they don't fix this blue line.
Yeah, I will agree wholeheartedly with that. My only concern on trading Jordan Eberle is you're going to trade Teddy Purcell. Now you have zero right shots in your top six. Your power play is already struggling enough by having to put Mark Letestu on your second unit because he's a right shot. Now you get rid of Eberle and Purcell, and you know there's not a ton of right shot right wingers in free agency. Obviously, you'd have to go make another move, but that's why, to me, only based on that, if all things are even to me, and I'm probably in the minority, but I would still lean to Nugent Hopkins ahead of Eberle.
How would you feel next year if your top three right wingers were Okposo, Yakupov, and Kassian? 1, 2, 3 down the right side.
That's if you can get Okposo is the question on that, though.
As a free agent?
You think he'd want to come and play with Connor, maybe?
Well, no, there's definitely validity to that. There's no arguing there, for sure. Right?
And it's going to be a different ball game in terms of getting skilled players to come to Edmonton. Guys are going to see the opportunity that exists, especially if they move Jordan Eberle. They'll know that spot is wide open.
Yeah, no, there's definitely something fair to that. To me, though, if Yakupov's in your top six, I don't think your top six is good enough. So,
well, he was rolling at a pretty good clip when he had Connor in the middle.
Yeah, okay, but you just sold me on the fact that Okposo comes here to play with Connor. So he and Yakupov both can play with him.
He can play other side. He can play the other side too.
Well, no, you have Hall and Pouliot out on the other side.
Yeah. Well, that's good options to have, then, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still not sold that a 10-game stretch proves to me that he can play with McDavid. That's just.
I know. Yeah. I mean, listen, it's all food for thought, and it's all. I think the point is that they have assets to try and bring defensemen in, and they have a desirable location to try and bring skill forwards in. Peter Chiarelli is as well-armed as any general manager has been heading into an offseason to try and make significant change.
That's fair. Right. Yeah, I would agree.
And so it's just a matter of putting it all together and finding the deals that make sense. And what I'm saying about this GM, look, I mean, the Kessel trade, the Seguin trade. I mean, this guy is not going to blanch at a big trade that gets people talking. If he thinks it's the right move for his team, he'll do it. He won't hesitate, and he won't apologize for it.
Jagger, what we conclude from this is that now you're trying to run Clefbaum out of town, according to our texters, so we'll just put that at the top of the list, and we will chat with you at the rink tonight. All right, buddy, have a good one.
See you, boy.
Ryan Rashog from TSN.